is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. The World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO and, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall.
Episode 33 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. My name is Jason Bryant. Our guest today, Tom Ryan, head coach at The Ohio State University, and Kevin Black, the head wrestling coach at River Falls High School in Wisconsin, also the founder of the Victory School of Wrestling just across the Minnesota border in River Falls. And today we will talk about Kyle Snyder and Helen Maroulis, Olympic champions from the United States. Both our guests have distinct and up close and personal relationships with those athletes as coaches, as friends, and as people. So first things first, Tom Ryan, this is not your first appearance on the show, but welcome back to the World Wrestling Resource.
Good to be with you.
And Kevin, first appearance, although I've had a long relationship with you and your brother for a number of years based on my time at USA Wrestling. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate the opportunity.
So let's just start with Tom Ryan. You know, you've got Kyle Snyder, who made the headlines this year about saying, oh, you know what, forget the red shirt, I'm going to come back, limited schedule. He's wrestling, you know, in Russia 1 minute and in a Big Ten dual meet the next. And what set this stage for Kyle Snyder's Olympic run after winning a world championship? I mean, what was this like for you as a head college coach, having to balance an athlete's unique skill set of international wrestling and, you know, the opportunity to win an NCAA championship?
Yeah, you know, Kyle is obviously a very easy guy to deal with. We have a good group of people around him. We obviously link all the people in that you know, have a understanding of the international side of things, which is Bill Zadek, Coach Burnett. Obviously, had calls with them. You know, I don't think it's as scientific, you know, as we want to make it. It's pretty basic. I don't think that any one event or not event is going to be the difference between Kyle Snyder, you know, winning the Olympics or not. But we do want to make sure that, you know, there's obviously some thinking behind what we're doing. And so, you know, obviously he win, you know, what one heck of a year. You know, you win the Worlds, you come back, you win the Big Tens, you win the Nationals, which, you know, heavyweight presents some challenges for him that international wrestling doesn't. And then, you know, throughout the year, we looked at this, the freestyle events with USA Wrestling that made the most sense, where he would see some of the top guys in the world. And, you know, the plan, you know, it's nice, I guess, when a plan comes together. It looked like, you know, obviously it worked. So, you know, he'll go going forward. It'll be something very similar. This year will be a bridge version of college wrestling. He'll be in the key events. He'll be at our home events. And, you know, he wants to wrestle in the World Cup. If it gets changed to a date that works for him, he wants to wrestle in Euregan. So, you know, I think when you're looking out for, you know, the best for somebody, you compromise. And I wouldn't really call it a compromise, but it's a compromise.
When you coach an athlete like Kyle Snyder and then you're at the Olympic Games and you're not on the floor, you've got Lou Roselli down there on the floor who just worked with you for a number of years there before just recently taking the job at the University of Oklahoma. And you've got to sit there and kind of absorb this in this moment as a fan. What's that like to go from, you know, I'm sitting in the corner right there, mat side, when Kyle Snyder wins an NCAA wrestling championship, and then I'm his college coach, but I've got to sit, you know, with the thousands of fans in there and the hundreds of Americans surrounding you. What's it like to witness that moment from almost a fan standpoint in this situation?
Yeah, it's you know, it's emotional. You know, it's exciting. You know, you're around his family. You're sitting in a you know, in a chair next to his mom and dad, and you kind of get the sense of the magnitude of the match. You know, Kyle has kept us all pretty busy. You know, we're kind of embracing the things that this new standard that he's setting for college wrestlers. So it's great. It's been great.
Now jumping over to Kevin Black. And Kevin, you've had an opportunity to coach women's freestyle for a number of years, as well as the high school levels, and you were an All-American at University of Wisconsin. And your career, you've competed in all styles of wrestling. When it comes to coaching women, when you started, you know, working first with the New York Athletic Club and now with Sunkist Kids, what is the bridge, basically, or the learning curve for a coach to go from, all right, I've been wrestling guys my whole life. Now I've got to train women, and not just women, but high level women's wrestlers.
That's a really good question. I think with wrestling, first it's whether if it's a male or a female, wrestling is wrestling. And I think, we're going to treat them like wrestlers, coach them like wrestlers, but treat them like women. Men and women have unique differences. And I think that, if we're aware of those, that we can maybe reach their needs, reach their heart a little bit quicker, where, you know, instead of just trying to make them be the stereotypical guy. And I think in what I've seen in women's wrestling is a lot of things that are unique to women, just the way that their mind works, which is much differently than how my mind works, is over the last 10 years, I think there's been a growth in the coaches to be able to, listen to who they are rather than try to fit them in a box of what's worked for years past with guys. One, I think very clear example of that is, my experience as a wrestler, and obviously I did not reach the level that I would have liked to have as an athlete, but I remember being a guy, there were so many things about just kind of being the alpha male or being self-sufficient, trying to get things done, and having that confidence that I could stand alone on the podium, you know, and be like this macho man. Of course, there's tons of people behind the scenes working and all that kind of stuff, but then along with that, from a mental standpoint, was I felt like male coaches in my life, and what I've seen with some of the female athletes, is male coaches will tend to try to suppress some of those thoughts and feelings, where a guy can compartmentalize and put them on the back shelf and go and wrestle, where sometimes for a female, if they have a doubt or a question and it's forefront on their mind, they can't just put it on the back burner and go and wrestle. And so that's one thing that I've noticed, and I've seen a growth in that in the women's wrestling world. I think Helen is a really good example of, you know, she faced some of her fears and talked about them and was open about some of her doubts. And that was okay, because when it came down to wrestling, it was just the 6 minutes that she was wrestling. There's a lot of preparation that went into it, but those 6 minutes, she just was wrestling. She wasn't thinking about trying to be, be the best wrestler in the world, or try to be something that she wasn't. And she had some fear and some anxiety, and she was able to talk about that in a safe environment before she went and wrestled. And I think that really just allowed her to be free and to just wrestle.
And you've taken in athletes, and they've trained and lived with you there in River Falls. And I want to know how much of the experience when helping turn Deanna Ricks, who's now Deanna Betterman, and helping turn her around has helped you become a better coach, not just as a person, but as kind of as a life coach, to go through the situation, be like, okay, Helen, I know what you're dealing with here. I've dealt with people that have had some demons that they've had to work through. I mean, how much did that situation really help you as a coach?
Well, Deanna was a unique case study there. And I think with her, it was more about helping her make the right decisions off the mat, and then she was able to make good decisions on the mat. And I think better people make better wrestlers. So when you can focus on character development and those types of things, it usually translates into them doing good things on the mat and carrying your life with standards of excellence everywhere you go, not just in the wrestling room. It usually yields good results on the wrestling mat too. So, and that's like, I don't know Kyle Snyder very well, but, you know, Coach Ryan, I would imagine he's one of the best dudes in the world, right? He's like one of the nicest guys. The character part, independent of wrestling, is great. for him, and that's why he's a great wrestler. So, you know, better people make better wrestlers.
Coach Ryan, what do you got to add on that? I mean, it seems like that's a logical thing to talk about as far as, you know, better people, better wrestlers. I mean, yeah, we've got our people who have done unsavory things that have done well in the sport, but they're few and far between.
I think that, obviously, I agree with Coach and you. I think, you know, we've got, you know, we talk about sustained, prolonged success, right? I mean, who on earth looks forward to a great 2016 and a really bad 2017? It's illogical. I mean, we're made to experience prolonged success. And the key ingredient to that, I mean, talent and hard work will get you, I believe it can get you to the top, right? The question is how long you want to be there. And if you want to be there for quite a while, the key ingredient to prolonged success is character. And it's being able to reduce distractions. We're not talking about living the life of a choir boy, but we're talking about, you know, understanding some fundamental principles of life that many of us just can't seem to put away. And Kyle is in the position because, like Coach Black was saying, because of his character, the way he thinks. I mean, he's in a position for absolutely sustained success for a long time. As long as his body holds up, I mean, he's going to be a guy that's going to be the highest level. So, yeah, I mean, no question about it. You know, organizations, marriages, families, you know, the component that keeps them all on top is the ability to make the right decision.
Now, Kevin, coming back over to you, we've asked Coach Ryan about what his thoughts were on Kyle Snyder winning a gold and what that moment was like. You were down on the floor with Coach Kalika, and the opportunity to hand that flag to Helen Maroulis when she became the first U.S. woman to win an Olympic medal. What was that feeling like for you, and what was it like to share in that moment with Helen?
It was really special. I think that, you know, when I first started working with Helen, 7 years ago, and my role has changed almost each year. But our relationship to each other has maintained the same position. I treat her like Helen, she treats me like Kevin, and that's it. And that's important for her. But, you know, visualizing, just like you hope that athletes would go through the mental imagery and all of those types of things. I had visualized this moment for 6 years, and there was no, I guess, hesitation in my thought process that this was going to come to fruition someday. And last year at the Worlds, that was cool as well, putting the flag on her, but I knew that we were going to do it at the Olympics. And it was really funny was how that day kind of transpired. That was the only time that I was in that back corner position there with Valentin. And we just asked Helen before she went out who she wanted there, and she said that she wanted Valentin and myself in the corner. And I was starting to try to, you know, reorganize my brain to make sure that my vision that I had 6 years ago, that I could handle it in the most professional and non-selfish way if I wasn't there putting the flag on. But it made sense when I got there, and that's how we saw it play out. You know, beating Yoshida in the Olympic gold medal match, that's been something that we've been visualizing for 6 years. So it was pretty sweet. It was pretty awesome. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to say.
The visualization was Yoshida from the get-go.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep. And I think even four years ago when Madsen had been moving around in a couple weights too, and we knew that Madsen was going to be in the picture, and it was kind of like we thought, okay, you got to beat Madsen first, and then you got to beat Yoshida in the finals if you want to win a gold medal. So, and it played out just like that.
We talk about the dynamics of women's wrestling. When you talk about Sofia Mattsson and Sara Yoshida, you're talking about two of the best technical wrestlers, regardless of gender, on the planet. Because when you watch Sofia Mattsson wrestle, I almost say that she's the most American-like wrestler internationally, because she's throwing halves, she's throwing in the boots. I mean, she's doing things that like an American college wrestler would do. She's fun to watch. And when Helen blew her off the mat in that semifinal, was that the moment you're like, oh, we got this?
Well, it was funny because Helen, she was in her own world that day. Like, she was so focused. She was in the zone. She was just in her own little world. And I watched Madsen in the back. I watched her warm up. There was some talk about maybe having an injury. But as she started moving along throughout the day and the warm up, it didn't look like there was anything holding her back. And Helen crushed her. Like, I mean, she teched her, right? And, well, she ended up pinning her. But then in the bronze medal match, Madsen looked as good as I had ever seen her look, ever. And so after Madsen's match, and we knew that Helen's match was independent of anything that all those girls were doing. But after that match, I thought, holy cow, this was, like, Helen got Madsen's A game and made her look like that. And then the same thing with Yoshida. Yoshida knew Helen was coming. It wasn't like Helen snuck up on her. You know, it's kind of a fun David and Goliath story, but Yoshida, they brought Helen in to train, you know, in Japan a couple of years ago, and she was on the radar. This wasn't like she snuck up on her. And so I even think that Yoshida, for being as great as she is and for having how many championships, she was focused and prepared for Helen. So I think Helen got the best Madsen that there was and the best Yoshida, which I think is something to be said with, you know, 16 titles, and Yoshida prepared the best she could for Helen. It wasn't that this girl was on her way out or anything like that. So she got the A game. That was for sure.
Coach Ryan, as a spectator, when you look at the performance that Helen Maroulis and what she did, what she's done for American wrestling now by winning this gold medal, I mean, as a Division I college coach, what does it say to you about the depth of women's wrestling, the rise of women's wrestling, the quality of women's wrestling that our fan base, whether they're college fans or they're just wrestling fans in general, need to pay attention to?
I mean, can you have a better poster child for the sport than Helen Maroulis? I mean, she's first class. She's beautiful. She's the perfect combination of beauty and brawn. You know, when it's time to put the singlet on and get the hair in the right place so it's not in your opponent's face and get after it, she can. And then when she's off the mat, she's just this like first class thinker. And I mean, she's going to do wonders for the sport and women's wrestling. She's a great ambassador. So it's fun to watch her. I mean, she's unbelievable. I mean, this isn't like, hey, it's women's wrestling. I mean, her technique is incredible. I fought that for quite a while. Was actually trying to get her to come into Columbus to work out with Tomasello and some of our guys because she's just so sound technically. You know, I don't think that, obviously it's a challenge physically, but watching her wrestle, I knew she could wrestle with some of our best guys. So fun to watch her. So proud of her, and just good stuff. Yeah.
Both you guys have just a unique aspect in this role with freestyle wrestling. As we said with Tom, you're the head coach on the college team, but when it comes to the freestyle stuff, it was Lou Roselli who was in the corner, and Coach Black, you had been coaching Helen for a number of years, but then she goes and works and trains with Valentin Kalika. So both of you had kind of a secondary role in this particular respect. And first of all, with Coach Ryan, what's that like to sit there and be like, okay, I've got somebody that's definitely a freestyle, you know, their freestyle acumen is, you know, above almost most people in this world. I mean, what's it like to kind of take a step back and let somebody else kind of take the reins over on an athlete in this type of situation?
You know, when you watch Kyle in the national finals, there's in the NCAA final, there's two coaches in the corner. That's because that's all the NCAA allows, right? I could have 30 people in that corner that have walked alongside and helped them one way or another. So my role is pretty simple. I'm here to serve. And that's how I feel about my coaching role. I'm here to serve. And if it's Kyle needing a Gatorade, if it's Kyle, whatever Kyle needs, you know, we're there for him. So from my perspective, you know, we have Lou Roselli, who's been involved in the freestyle circuit for a long time, you know, in the room with, you know, Jay Jaggers was with Kyle constantly, Bill Zada constantly, Coach Burnett, Brandon Slay, Travell DeLegner. So, you know, the world, you're allowed one guy in the corner, you know, and Lou was named as the head coach of the Ohio Regional Training Center. That was the role that I had him in. So it was natural that he would be in the corner with him, you know, but I think that, you know, more than anything, as we watch these athletes compete, there are just so many people that, you know, that have walked alongside them, that any one of them could necessarily be, you know, be the corner guy. You know, this is about way more than the corner guy.
Kevin, what's the situation been like for you? Because you've been the corner guy for Helen for a while, and then she makes a coaching change and her a lot of changes, and we'll talk about some of the other changes with it. But to go with Valentin, and what was it like for you to be in that role? As you said, you were only cornering for the final, but or you were in, you know, the second coach for the final. But when she makes that move to Valentin and you're still involved with her as a Sunkist coach, what does that do for you mentally as a coach, and what was, how did your role change?
Well, it was, it's funny that you ask it in that way, because, my whole deal here in this coaching scene, whether if it's with Helen or high school athletes or anybody, is it can never be about me. It can't be about my name. And if it was, then first of all, I don't think we would reach the potential in our athletes that we could. And there would probably be some heartache, you know. It's just, to be honest, I think that there are some times where, over the couple years where I've had family members and others ask, you know, well, why aren't you getting, certain amount of credit for this? And, you know, they know where I stand on this, but for me, it's not about my name. And for me and for Helen, it's about God's name. And, you know, so I think that it's, there's a direct relation to how God is using this whole thing in our lives, is that, my name should never be mentioned if that's what this is about. If this is about making God's name and fame known across the entire world, then mine should never be in the conversation. And so her making a change and doing these kinds of things, I think allowed for me, you know, in my pride to get out of the way. And, you know, Valentin stepped in, and he was a great coach. And I think that some of the way that the media portrayed that story, and it was a fun story, I think, for different media outlets, was that he kind of came in and was the final answer to everything. And maybe he was, but there were a lot of people that were behind the scenes, you know, whether if it was on the mat coaches, off the mat coaches, strength coaches, nutrition coaches, you know, national team coaches. There were a lot of people involved in that, and I think that the best part of it was those people that are behind the scenes, you know, like Coach said, we're there to serve. It's not about our name, and if it was, it wouldn't work out the way it's supposed to. So I think that you know, taking a back seat, both figuratively and literally, helps the whole process, and it helps both Helen and my personal faith journeys, and just showed us that God is real. So,
what was your experience like with Valentin prior to working with Helen, and then when he started working with her full time? How did you guys mesh?
So after 2012, after the trials, Helen was pretty broken, and she made it through that summer. She's a training partner for the 2012 games with Kelsey in London. And then when she came back, just went to the drawing board and wanted to find a location that was best for her and not best for a bunch of other people. And we actually, like Coach Ryan mentioned, like I talked to Coach Ryan after the US Open in 2014. He saw her do an inside trip in the finals, and we talked in the background. Tom Selle was redshirting right that spring, and he won the Field Junior. But we talked to some different people. I talked to Mikhail Sanderson, and we just tried to find a place that fit well for Helen. And it took about a year until Valentin came across, and her and Valentin had a couple conversations. They ended up going to Southern Ossetia in Southern Russia, and that's where their coach relationship sort of solidified was, you know, 2014. And Helen had a lot of conversations with people about if this was the right thing. And, I think that technically it was the best thing for her. And we talked about that. I talked about it with Coach Steiner, and, yeah, so I think it was probably a 2-year search for just the right fit technically for Helen. And, Valentin was able to provide what she needed.
Now, Coach Ryan, as we talk about Kyle Snyder, you know, not exactly an underdog to win an Olympic championship, having won the gold medal at the World Championships in Vegas at age 19, and then, you know, taking a couple losses throughout the year. And with both of these athletes, there's been a faith component. Kyle, when he was in Maryland, Our Lady of Good Counsel, it's kind of obvious what type of school that is before going to Coronado. And Tom, in your own personal journey with faith, you know, has helped you work through things as well. And what's it like in your perspective to see how much faith has played a role in Kyle Snyder's success, not just as an athlete, but as a human being?
Yeah, no, I think, it grounds him. I think that Bill Zadek, when he went out to the training center, his senior year in high school, I think Bill and Brandon they played a really big role in his faith growing, and he continues to pursue it. And I think faith is one thing. Faith in action is completely different. I think we're watching someone who's extremely normal and extremely, extremely rooted in his faith. Gives him a calm. The night before the he wrestled in the Olympics, I just sent him a text, and he sent me back a text, just some scripture. And here's a guy that really is reading scripture about fear. And I think he's very real. I mean, Coach Black mentioned this earlier, but being really, real about, there's a lot of money at stake. There's a reputation at stake. He's the reigning world champion. All these pressures that are just natural human emotion, not just natural to think that way. And to suppress them is probably the worst thing that someone can do. And he doesn't. And he talks about them. And he's just extremely real. And Travell Delegna, who also has a really strong faith. And again, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about guys that have come to terms with the fact that Jesus lived, Jesus walked on earth, Jesus was who he said he was, and he's the ultimate coach. And if I can follow his way, it will give me the best opportunity on earth for things to go my way. It doesn't guarantee me anything, but it is the way. So they both and a lot of guys in our program now just are rooted in that. It gives him a calm. So, and calm is what needed. He was in trouble. I'm in the bleachers, you said, watching as a friend, as a coach, as a, alongside his family. He was arm thrown for four against a tricky wrestler, and you got to come back. I was like, you got to score in the first period. He didn't score in the first period, but then scored 9 straight points. So he's just, he's really unique guy, and I'm glad that my life has crossed his.
Now, Coach Black, it's you and your Victory School of Wrestling. You've been really banging the drum of the faith for a long, long time, for lack of a better term. And, it's something that you've had in your coaching and your personal life and, between your family relationships. And, you've never hidden that fact. And some people can also be like, well, God doesn't care if you win or lose. These type of things come up all the time because, people want to trivialize it. But when you've seen the strides that Helen made from 2012 to 2016, and I've known her for a long time, and the faith element in her, just the way she speaks, has changed significantly, at least publicly, in the last 2 years. And there's in your situation, you've got to believe that this is related. I mean, I believe you believe that. I think a lot of people believe that. But what have you seen from Helen that was that X factor because of this?
Well, I think, So I think that the total athlete is body, mind, and soul, that there's three components that need to be exercised equally. So the physical stuff is a no-brainer. You got to get in the weight room, you got to spend time on the mat, and you have to be in good cardiovascular condition. All the physical stuff, it's a no-brainer. The mental stuff we've talked about, being able to own some things or have some mental toughness. And, but that third dimension, the spirit, the soul, and you can call it whatever you want. I mean, I'm a Christian, so I believe that, Jesus is the truth and the way. So, but you can take any part of that heart or the passion. There has to be some kind of driving force that's bigger than you. And I think, what I've seen from Helen's growth in her faith is that she was able to take some of the pressures of her identity being in sport and her identity being in a gold medal and put that behind her, because her identity was in her faith in Christ and who Christ said she is, not who the media says she is or the wrestling world says she is. It's that she was created in the image of God to do something great. And I think that that gave her the freedom to just be herself and do what she knew she was supposed to do in the training, both physically, mentally, but also spiritually, that she would take those steps to grow as the total athlete. And I think what we've seen in the United States, you go back to 84 was probably a tricky year with LA Olympics, but since then, the people who won gold medals from the United States in the sport of wrestling have some kind of faith dynamic for their wrestling. And it looks different for different people, but I think that they knew that their identity and their fullness was independent of winning or losing. And when that is, when that's very real to a person, when they know that their identity is not in a gold medal, they can have the freedom to just be themselves and just wrestle. It takes a lot of that pressure off. And that's how I've seen Helen grow, over these last, 4 to 5 years is that her faith has grown to a place where she's able to recognize that with or without the gold medal, she's already as loved and as valuable and as pristine and perfect as she'll ever be. She can never do that. She can never attain those levels on her own through sport. So, whether if you're somebody like Yoshida who's got 16 gold medals or Helen who just has won the last two, she's going to be worth more than all of that gold combined. So I think that she was secure in that going in this year and last year too. And I think that's made all the difference in the world for her.
Coach Ryan, what does the future hold for Kyle Snyder? You said that he wants to wrestle as long as his body holds up, but you've got 2 years of probably abbreviated schedules on the college wrestling side of things, an international resume that's growing with a world gold and Olympic gold. But what do you see from your vantage point on what's next for Kyle Snyder?
Yeah, obviously 1 year at a time, one day at a time. He's he's getting ready for the college season. Again, a bridge this year and next year. The plan is for him to, obviously get his degree here. He seems to want to stay in the sport of in the sport of wrestling until 2028 at least. That's what he's talked about. Hopefully, if we can continue to provide him with the environment where he can continue to grow and learn, and as he would say it, become a master of the sport, which is what he's after, is mastery. He'll be training in Columbus till then. We haven't ruled out things like, at least right now, he's pretty cool. He's learning Russian. So we felt that, Dave Schultz was a legend in the sport. Besides his wrestling and the way he carried himself, he got to know the language of his greatest opponents in an act of respect. So he's doing that now. This is a guy, for me, if he wants to go to business school at, he's got some great mentors, and John Bardis, he's a really good mentor for him, who's one of the great wrestlers / successful businessmen in the country. He's getting really good counsel from people that are grounded in faith. He could be, does he want to run a company? Does he want to be, listen, I'd vote for him for the next president of the United States, because by the time he's ready, I know he'd be a guy that's going to do things the right way. So, it's 1 year at a time right now, and we're going to get him ready for this, the next big season coming up, leading this team, hopefully to another national championship.
I know he's not eligible age-wise, but I might write his name on the ballot anyway, because the way our election year is going to go, I might be writing in Kyle Snyder's name.
Hey, you'd have my vote now already. Yeah.
All right, now, Coach Black, kind of the same question with Helen in regards to her. She's kind of got a little bit different dynamic because this year, women's wrestling, Adeline had a lot of media exposure for women's wrestling and really helped put it on the map with ESPN and places like that. But ultimately, it was Helen that won the gold medal. And she had a brief series on the History Channel, History Now, which was really cool. But what's next for Helen, in terms of the competition side of it? But this opens up a lot of marketing doors for her. I mean, as Tom said, she's got the look and the credentials to go with it that makes her an extremely marketable athlete that we've seen from a lot of women's athletes. I mean, where do you think the next move is for Helen in terms of wrestling and possibly marketing and moving women's wrestling to the next level in terms of its respectability in this country?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I don't know that anybody has the answer just yet. This is all new. I think that the couple weeks after the Olympics were pretty hectic for her, and she learned a little bit about herself. There were some late-night phone calls that she kind of struggled a little bit to manage everybody's demands and everything, and that was all new. So just like what Coach Ryan said about Kyle is we're trying to surround her with some good, wise counsel. She's got a new manager or a new agent who has a similar faith background as Helen. So those steps in marketing her or looking for any type of sponsorship or any of those sorts of things, I think it's important that the person that represents her understands who Helen is, not just what the medal is about, but understands who she is, so that we can get her out and let people see who she really is. I think that that's important. But as far as what I personally, what I see Helen value, obviously the wrestling part of it is it's good for women's wrestling. But my wife, she's got three kids. We have three kids, and she can identify with Helen Morales. And I think that that's one of the secret marketing angles that we have to take with Helen is she can, her story and her struggle, I think every woman in America can identify with some of the things that Helen has struggled with, where we're, to be honest, some of the stuff that we had talked about before Helen, which some of the physical appearance of our wrestlers and that strong being a new beauty. Like, my wife had three C-sections. I don't know that she can really identify with the body issue, or something like that. But here Helen comes out and she wears her emotions on her sleeve. She talks about, some of her being vulnerable and struggling with body image and struggling with anxiety. And one story that Helen shared with me the day before weigh-ins was she just talked about how she would wake up in the morning and she'd have a text from her strength coach, a text message from her technical coach from Valentine. She'd have these demands from other people, whether it was me or Terry or all of these different people. And she said that she realized, this was about 2 months out, she realized she didn't know, she's 24 years old, an Olympian, and didn't know how to start her own day. That she had so many demands from all of these other people that she made a commitment to just spend an hour in prayer. That's how she was going to start her day. She didn't know if it made sense from a nutrition standpoint, from all of these things. She talks about like the neuroreceptors and getting protein at the right time and all of this kind of stuff with her. And she's like, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to spend an hour with him. And I like when she told me that story, I'm like, oh my goodness, that is exactly what my wife goes through every single morning. She wakes up in the morning and she's thinking about, our three kids and their teachers and trying to get to work on time and balancing all these schedules and not even really doing anything for herself. And I'm like, goodness, this is something that I think we could market. And I don't know how we would do that. We've got some marketing people in the mix, and her agent is pretty good at some of these things too. So we're going to sit down and meet next week and hash out hopefully kind of like a quote unquote business model to help market Helen and her brand. And I don't know, we'll see. It's all kind of new for everybody, but I do really think that she can, every woman in America can identify with Helen and her story. So.
Yeah. And I want to throw a little personal anecdote here, because as I was in Rio and I got to share in that moment as kind of the, the narration of it, that was a moment that I really struggled through. I actually wrote about it on how I kind of lost my composure when, as far as like, Helen winning, I was broken up. I was a mess, and I'm sitting there trying to announce this. And I don't think I had that same type of feeling with Kyle, because I guess I expected him to win after having him watched him win on September 11th, 2015, win a world title at 19. So I guess I'd already gone through that with Snyder. But watching Helen, I got really emotional about it. And then, you know, knowing she beat Yoshida, but knowing back home that my daughter, my four-year-old daughter, Lucy, was wearing a Helen Marula shirt watching. She didn't know what she was watching, but my wife was watching the finals with my daughter, and my daughter is 4 years old wearing a Helen Marula shirt. Now, as a father, as a wrestling person, I have that opportunity, and I have two daughters. One's 2 months old, and the other's 4 years old, and I can put a Helen Marula's wrestling poster on their wall, and it not be like, oh, daddy's trying to put wrestlers in my room. These my daughters now have somebody that, whether they wrestle or not, they can have somebody that is respectful in the sport that their dad loves so much. And it's something that it's opened a door for my daughters. I think a lot of people sharing that. And the fact that we finally got one, and it's somebody like Helen, that means a lot to me as a wrestling fan and as a parent of daughters who, you know, we're looking for Serena Williams in our sport. We're looking for, you know, we're looking for Mia Hamms in our sport, and we finally got one. And Coach Ryan, I want to get your perspective on what an athlete and a performance like Helen Marula does for daughters, for fathers of people that was like, okay, well, I need something for my daughter to share in.
Yeah, we love beautiful things, man. We're made to dream big. We're made to dream big. And how many people, you know, like your daughters are watching on TV thinking, you know what, that's going to be me someday. You know, that's a big component when you study organizations, sports, you know, organizations around the world. That's a huge component is the ability to dream big and have someone in that organization that set a standard. I mean, you can look at our program now. You know, Logan comes in, wins four titles. One of the reasons why we got Kyle was that someone like that affirms that what's happening there can happen to me. You know, if it's happening for that human being, then it can happen for me as well. And it really helped us get Kyle. So what does Kyle do? He takes it to another level. He wins a gold medal as a sophomore in college and in his sophomore year. So, no, I think it's priceless. I think it's the beauty in it. And then, of course, while people are watching, you get to know her. And Coach said it earlier, her faith. And hopefully when people are watching her, they're assessing all of what she does and not just the way she hits singles and high crotches, and that this person is connected to something bigger than herself. That's where the magic is.
Kevin, I've asked Coach Ryan about what that means for Helen Marula. Now let's turn it the other way and get your opinion on what Kyle Snyder means for wrestlers around the country, whether they're Buckeyes, whether in your case Badgers, whether they're Hawkeyes, or whether they're Monarchs like me. What does an athlete like Kyle Snyder mean for the kids you're coaching now in the wrestling community, that they can actually, they're connected. They got Flow Wrestling. They got YouTube. They can watch these guys a lot easier than they could 20 to 30 years ago to know who their heroes are. What's a Kyle Snyder impact like in your wrestling room?
Yeah. Well, my high school wrestling program, is not winning any state titles this year. Probably we've got a long ways to go. But I love those kids, and what is important for me to show them is that there are good people doing good things, and that good people can have an impact on this world, and they can change the world for good. And somebody like Kyle Snyder, who has all three components, body, mind, and soul, he's just testimony that model actually works. And like, for it to work, you don't do it for the outcome, right? It's not that, oh, well, okay, well, I'll practice humility so that I can win. Well, that's not humility, right? But when humility is genuine and integrity is genuine and those character traits about Kyle Snyder are genuine, and oh, by the way, he's winning, then I think that we can use somebody like Kyle as a teaching tool to high school kids to help them to make the right decisions and do the right thing and to focus on developing some of those important character traits. You know, the character of essence, the humility, the integrity, the honesty, and all of those things that can protect them from some of those other character traits that can be used for some bad things down the road. And, you know, without something like humility, confidence is actually arrogance, right? So we can we can spend time, there's value on teaching the humility side of things so that when they do develop that confidence in themselves, that they're maybe on a world stage like Kyle Snyder, that they're using it for good things. And I think that's a great part of Kyle Snyder's story and Helen's story and Jordan Burroughs and, you know, some of our stars, the people that are at the top right now in our sport, they're also champion characters. And that's important for me teaching high school kids, you know, that wrestling is just a metaphor for life, that we can become better people by being involved in this sport.
Last question I have is going to go to Tom Ryan, because as we've mentioned Lou Roselli's name a couple times, and he has basically been one of the most highly sought after assistants since you even brought him in at Ohio State. When he was at Edinburgh, he was a finalist for numerous Division I jobs. His name was, you know, almost like, hey, we got to get Roselli. You bring him in at Ohio State, and he is, you know, a catalyst for y'all's national championship run as well as the Ohio Regional Training Center. Now he's going to Norman in his first head coaching job. And what has Lou Roselli meant to you as a coach? What has Lou Roselli meant to Ohio State? What's Lou Roselli meant to wrestling? And what do you see his future in Norman to be like?
Well, we're all excited for him right now. I mean, you know, he's been in coaching for over 20 years, and to have the opportunity, to earn the opportunity to be the head coach at Oklahoma. I think that so many people that have walked alongside Lou, me one of them, Tim Flynn, when he got the head job there, we were just, you know, really overjoyed for him and his family. So he's helped, obviously, a great amount here, and we're ready to watch him, you know, lead the Sooners. So we look forward to the home and away here soon.
All right, now, final thoughts, I guess, Coach Ryan. We'll keep it with you. Just final thoughts on what we've thought about Rio, the Olympics, and you know, moving forward in this college wrestling season. What can we expect from the Buckeyes?
Well, we're expecting a big season. You know, just focusing on the mastery of the sport and enjoying our time together. We've got a new saying here: love does, and we're going to hold tight to that. So, looking forward to the start of the season.
You know, maybe you can even tie that into Lenny Kravitz's Let Love Rule as an intro, you know, because I'm a big Lenny Kravitz fan. But all right, Kevin, your turn. You know, you can talk a little bit about River Falls. Tell us a little bit about Victory School of Wrestling and what people can find out about your outfit there in River Falls.
Well, I'm the high school coach here in my alma mater school, and we're just trying to reestablish some standards of excellence and, you know, trying to bring some success back to a program that had in our little state of Wisconsin had a nice tradition. So just trying to build things by doing it with character first. There's a lot of great resources out there and a lot of important coaches and organizations who demonstrated how to do that. There's, you know, blueprints on how to implement some of those things from a coaching and program development standpoint. So that's been fun and exciting. As far as my club, we've kind of changed things a little bit from what I had done before coaching our high school. There might be a little bit of conflict of interest there. So, we'll offer some summer camps, doing some, like a female intensive camp next summer with some international wrestlers there and some big senior level athletes. So it should be a fun and exciting camp. But, yeah, I don't know. I think just plugging away and moving along and just trying to, you know, for me, all of this is to help individuals reach their full human and athletic potential and leave our community ready to change the world for good. And, you know, obviously part of that too is there's a faith component in it for me that, all of this is to make God's name known throughout the entire world. So, yeah, that's why we do what we do.
So for Tom Ryan, Kevin Black, thank you guys for spending the time with us today. We're talking about Kyle Snyder and Helen Maroulis. You've been listening to episode 33 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. Find out all the resources we offer at worldwrestlingresource.com.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
For more wrestling podcasts, head over to matttalkonline.com.